My name is Michael Rodriguez. I am the literature librarian for Michigan State University. Michigan State University Libraries. I'll explain why I emphasize that in a second. This is November 3rd, and I'm here to talk to Keith Witter, who is the author of Michigan Agricultural College, which is a history of Michigan State University's first 70 years, or is it 75? First 70 years. 70. The book won the Historical Society of Michigan's 2005 State History Award, and it won a selection as the Michigan Notable Books as well in 2005. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I almost always begin these conversations with a question about Michigan, and therefore, so far, nothing has changed. Now, you're not from Michigan. You're from Wisconsin.
Correct.
Right? And you came to Michigan when? A long time ago.
Yeah, actually, the first time I came to Michigan was 1966 for just a couple weeks to be up at the Straits of Mackinac,
right,
and moved here permanently in 1971.
Mm-hmm. And you're... Did you move here for a job? Was that the Mackinac job?
Yes. Yeah. I moved here to work as a historian with the Mackinac State Park Commission.
And I guess that's the first question. You're trained as a historian and lived in Mackinac for a long time. Is that correct?
Well, I worked in Mackinac in the summers and lived down here in the winter. So I usually had 5 months up at the Straits and 7 months in Lansing, East Lansing.
You lived on the island?
No, except for the first two summers, I always lived in Mackinac City.
Hmm. People don't know this, but there are a lot of people that live on the island during the winter.
Yeah, I think there used to be around 600. I'm not sure what it is today.
Yeah.
They're large enough to support a school.
Right. And all of your research has been about Michigan, correct?
Well, yeah, most of my research, is Mackinac oriented, Mackinac focused, but Mackinac is a much bigger topic geographically than just the island or the Straits. I mean, historically, Michilimackinac could refer to a rather large region extending throughout much of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, on up into Ontario, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. And so I've always looked at Mackinac as a regional way rather than a local way.
That's a big region, too.
Big and very complicated. Yeah. Lots of complicated intercultural relationships, as well as European imperial rivalries and all those things mixed together.
So what happened with the job working in Mackinac?
Well, I was eligible for early out retirement in 1997.
So you took it. And you came down and you got the book, Michigan Agricultural College, we were just talking about this, was a contract book from Michigan State University Press.
Right. Yeah, I worked for the, I was doing some work editing for the press after I had retired from Mackinac. And this project, the sesquicentennial project, was one that was being discussed at the press and taking shape. And the intent was that they would, contract with authors to write each of the volumes. And I one day expressed an interest to Fred Bohm, the director of the press, said, I might be interested in doing the first volume. And he said, well, write me a letter of application and we'll see where it goes. And I did that and got
that. Is that different to do a book under contract, such as that is, that you have a certain amount of time to do it and so forth, it has to be published at a certain date, rather than doing research, because you had a start date and an end date?
Yeah, the dates weren't real tight. I mean, I knew we wanted to get it out by December of 2005. And so, and can be pretty organized, and so I knew that was doable. I mean, this was a huge topic, but that was my job.
Mm-hmm. And it came out before December of 2005, because 2005, the school year of 2005, 2006.
Maybe it's 2004.
I mean, 2000. I think the publication date is 2005.
Right. It came out in December 2004.
Because it was to go with the sesquicentennial of Michigan State University.
Because it was out in time for the sesquicentennial. Right. So, it's 2004.
Yeah. you just explained how the project sort of came about. I wonder, when I emphasize that I'm a literature librarian, I think that you're the first person that we've had for the series, the Michigan Writer series. We've had a lot of other nonfiction authors in the library to read, but not part of the Michigan Writers Series. But there's some interesting, when you read this book, it reads like a very much like a piece of literature in a sense. I mean, there is such an organization to it, and there's a care for the prose, for one thing, that I think lends itself, at least at times, to fiction-like things. I'm not saying that correctly. And what I'm curious about is a book that contains so many illustrations, pictures. When you sit down to do this, and the book is organized very much around the original mission of the university, and you do a great job of explaining what that is and how that played itself out in the first 70 years. That's the sort of thesis of the book. So, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty of the composition of things, I wonder how much the actual illustrations change the composition of the book. You know, are you sometimes actually writing around the pictures?
Actually, I wrote the book without pictures
without
in mind
pictures
at all.
I
knew there were a lot of illustrations. Mm-hmm. And being having a career working in the museum world, I look at a good scholarly academic book is like a museum exhibit that has, you know, its boundaries are extended mm-hmm. considerably. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I wanted to tell the story in the text, in the narrative, and the illustrations then could be used in some cases to illustrate at where it was, you know, in the text. Mm-hmm. Sometimes to maybe tell stories that didn't make the text. It was an opportunity to get pictures of people and get more detail about them that would only clutter up a text.
Right.
And so the pictures were not added on, but I wrote the text first and then went and selected pictures that would help to illustrate the text or to fill in maybe some places that the text didn't reach into, but yet I thought should be covered.
You spent a lot of time previously, probably in the MSU archives, knowing what kinds of materials are there.
Yeah, there was one of the wonderful surprises of this book. Maybe it wasn't so much a surprise, but it was really gratifying, was how good the MSU archives are. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really are a rich resource that are, I'm sure, greatly underutilized. Mm-hmm. Because when you deal with, not only do they have a wonderful manuscript collection that, you know, helps to get at the history of what I will call Michigan Agricultural College, mm-hmm. But since the college itself is so much a history of the state and so many people, there's a lot more stories there about Michigan and beyond mm-hmm. than just the history of the university. Mm-hmm. And so the archives really are a wonderful collection, mm-hmm. and there was an amazing amount of material there.
The history of Michigan State University or Michigan Agricultural College, I mean, this is what the book is probably about, that its reaches are very far. Have you heard from people that from the far reaches of the nation or even beyond that about feedback?
Not a whole lot, because one of the things that is really in some ways, you know, kind of distressing is because it's an institutional history, by and large, the history journals won't even review it, because they won't review institutional histories. And so it doesn't get that kind of exposure that, you know, I would hope it would.
Right. What are you working on now? Anything?
Well, I'm really, really have in mind, I would like to do a book on Mackinac, Michilimackinac, Western Great Lakes, that deals with the period from the conquest of Canada till the outbreak of the American Revolution. And I've done a lot of research in this field while I was still working with the Park Commission. And it's one of those books that's still gestating, but it'll come.
Where are the resource materials for something like that?
Well, one of the best collections is down at the Clements Library at University mm-hmm. of Michigan. There's a lot of material, Thomas Gage papers. They have some of the late Amherst papers and a lot of manuscript stuff that's really, you know, really good. Things in what are now the National Archives of the United Kingdom and the mm-hmm. British Museum, the Haldeman papers, Bouquet papers and all sorts of Amherst papers, and so there's a rich stuff. A lot of those materials I've already gone through for I've really done a lot of the research for this project. It's more a matter of trying to sort of figure out exactly how to organize it and approach it, and how to do what would be the first chapter, which is sort of what did the world look like when the British first arrived in September of 1761. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So your research in Michigan would take you back to the UK.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
That'd be fun. Well, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure, and look forward to your reading. I should ask. You know, usually fiction writers read, or poets read. Right. Will you read from?
Actually, tonight I'm going to do a little reading, which normally wouldn't be the case. But much of the reading will be words of students or faculty of the time. Although I will set them with some of my prose, but I'll talk some and read some.
Excellent.
And talk a little bit about how I came to do the book.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael.